This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. Tyler Donahue, Sean Fitz with you. It is business as usual here at Lions 24/7, certainly not across the globe right now, unless you're a prized NFL free agent. It's been a rough few days behind us. More to come, but we'll keep you engaged. We'll keep you distracted the best we can on Lions247.com. Content continues to roll out. We've got a lot of coverage up right now on a far range of topics. And of course, right here on the show, you can come to expect us being around on a weekly basis. Sean, you went on vacation. Hope you had a nice time, relaxing time. I hope you didn't check your phone. I know you did all those things, but you're back, and you are back to this. So, hey, what's up?
I told you I couldn't quit you guys, and unfortunately, I really, really wanted to last week. it was good to get out, and some things are just a little bit bigger than my vacation time. So we took care of that, and unfortunately, just everything was rolling in one direction last week, and that's where we stand right now with no football to talk about. Practice was supposed to start on the 16th, pro day on the 17th. Usually, we have a litany of things to talk about this time of year. It's kind of an accelerated period in March, and now all of a sudden we've got nothing. So it was good to get out and about. It was also, you know, tough to sit back and watch things crumble, but you and Mark did a good job of handling things. Our national desk at 24/7 Sports really just kept on top of things and kept people in the loop and did a really nice job with that. So thankful to them. And they're actually expanding, national stuff. I know some of you, we'll read the stuff on the Facebook and read the stuff everywhere, but our national team really does do a good job, and we're thankful to have them, even if we don't have football right now.
And our recruiting gurus out across the country, our scouting department at 24/7 Sports, they've got a fresh edition of the top 24/7 for the 2022 class. So players who are going to be juniors this upcoming fall, that is all up online right now. And while we're thanking people, thanks again to Mike Gesicki for taking time out of his day last week. And it was really good timing to hear from him and have that conversation. Hopefully it was a nice distraction for some of you out there. And if you missed it amid the chaos last week, head on back to our most recent episode. We got about a half hour in with Mike talking about his Miami Dolphins career, favorite memories from Penn State, just an array of conversation with Mike. So thanks again to him. We have a nice story to share as well on this episode with an interview. Fatorma Mulba took an international route to get to his career at Penn State. He was among the 11 early enrollees on campus this semester. He's got quite the journey to get here, and you'll hear about that coming up here later in the show as we continue our early enrollee interview series. But let's get to the elephant in the room for all of us, the coronavirus and its impact on the sports world and more locally here in Happy Valley, Sean. Penn State going online throughout the remainder of this semester in terms of classes. They're going to be kind of funneling in students to come and get their belongings out of living spaces. It's going to be obviously a lot of logistical things the university is going to have to work through, and commencement ceremonies are officially postponed, and that's always unfortunate to hear. It's going to be commonplace. My sister is supposed to be graduating coming up, and I don't think she'll be walking anywhere, maybe across the living room. So that's the way it's going right now. But you're a graduate here. You've lived here for a long time, and it's obviously strange to see spring rolling around and this campus and downtown. And not that I'm venturing out and about, but it's may as well be the dead of summer around here.
Yeah, we're just gonna imagine what State College looks like now, because we're all pretty much hunkering down in the self quarantine and things like that. And it's crazy to think about just as big of a part of this town as the university is, and now all of a sudden, you don't have university workers going, you don't have students here. It's a big difference, but I mean, you're not here to listen to coronavirus stuff. You can flip on the news and do all that kind of stuff. We're focusing on Penn State football, and what this means for Penn State football is, I mean, you've got players going home, and you know that's probably, you know, that's rightfully so. But what they have to do now in lieu of spring practice is keep up with their classes, keep up with their academic work while staying connected to the football program. I know that talked to some people today. They're doing Zoom meetings for position meetings and things like that, so they're still keeping in touch with what they do in, you know, in a regular spring session, just can't get out there and play. And that's got to be killing some guys. And really, honestly, I mean, you hit it here on the rundown. There's going to be some guys that are going to sort of pay for missing spring ball. I mean, this was a really big spring for some guys. Some of them are at the top of the depth chart. Some of them are, you know, sort of fighting for a spot with the transfer period. This was some people's the transfer portal. This was some guy's last shot to sort of stick and make an impression, unless they decided to go, or before they decided to eventually go elsewhere. So missing that, I think there's a lot of things that, you know, on the surface, you know, you just kind of miss. So, you know, a guy that was fighting for, you know, you don't like to speculate on transfers, but you take a look at the roster and some of these guys are fairly clear. A guy like Donovan Johnson, who's missed time with injuries the last couple of years, this was his opportunity. He had a great spring 2 years ago, of course, got hurt last year or the year before, and then last year again. Now, all of a sudden, he's trying to battle a guy like Marquise Wilson or, other guys in the slot to where he could be the slot cornerback that we thought he could be. He's a very good player, just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Now, all of a sudden, you wipe those spring practices off for a guy like Johnson. He doesn't get to make his chance, but at the same time, nobody else does. So Penn State sitting at, I think, 88 scholarships right now. I mean, that's an interesting dynamic to add to things, because when they get back, eventually, whenever that may be, I mean, you're going to have the same group of guys together, and I don't know how it works with the 85, because all of a sudden you're not maybe getting the attrition that you thought you may have at one time.
And this is not the time for a player to dive in headfirst to the transfer portal, Sean. I mean, they're not going to be able to make campus visits. They're not going to be able to get really a physical evaluation from coaching staffs unless they already have personal tie-ins, which you do see with some of these transfers. But yeah, the transfer portal, just like recruiting, kind of thrown for a loop. We'll get to some more recruiting because Penn State has stayed active, quite active actually, but some subtle changes, well, not so subtle, some pretty extreme ones, because no more in-person contact between coaches and these prospects. That means you're not going to see any campus visits. There's no one on campus right now anyways, and you're not going to see any coaches showing up. I was going to say high schools, but high schools are pretty much closed, and you're not going to see coaches showing up in other players' hometown to spend time in the living room, anything like that. There's not going to be any communication of that variety, but fortunately, we're all engaged on social media. That goes for the recruiting dynamics as well, and you know, there's a lot to dig into there. But going back to the current roster, Sean, another big thing here, and I know that coaches all across the country, whether they admit it or not, if it's spring break, winter break, summer break, whenever players are off campus for an extended period of time, you're thinking, don't get into trouble. Let's remember, these are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds. There's some temptations around. There's a lot of idle time right now, and let's be realistic, there's going to be opportunities to make some wrong decisions, and that goes for every college player across the country. That goes for every high school player. And the other thing is, of course, we just spent, you know, two podcasts ago, a lot of time breaking down how impressive guys were developing physically, the gains that had been made over the course of the 2 months of winter conditioning program and the strength program. Well, what happens now? You've got guys going back home. They're not going to have the nutritional assets that they would have on campus. You know, the smoothie's not going to be handed to them when they walk out the door to go anywhere. They're going to have trouble finding heavy weights to lift. Gyms are closed across America. Some may have a home gym. That would be very clutch at this point. But I've seen videos online of recruits and college players, you know, pushing cars up their driveway, trying to work out that way. I think push-ups and sit-ups, old school stuff like that, you're going to see that take to the forefront. But what this is really going to test, and this goes for everybody working from home, it goes for you and me, Sean, it goes for the coaches who are at their house, and it's certainly for the players, accountability is going to be tested across this country in a lot of ways, day in, day out. And that certainly goes for these players as they try not to lose those physical gains.
I would just like everyone to know that I ran 4 miles yesterday, and I'm pretty much telling everybody because I'm not a runner. But anybody that can hear that you know, you can appreciate that. No, but it's an interesting dynamic, and it's very low on the list of things that we really should care about. Well, when they get back to it, there's going to be guys maybe not out of shape, but when you're here, you're in peak physical condition. We joke all the time about, oh, so-and-so's in the best shape of his life. There's a reason for that. He better be in the best shape of his life because that's what they're doing. But yeah, when they get back to it, it's going to be really interesting to see where they're at from a strength program status, or excuse me, a strength program standpoint. I'm still on vacation. I apologize. But it's just a really interesting dynamic. And you mentioned the January enrollees, and I think this is where it's going to hit them because they basically, you know, they just had that big life change where they arrive in January, they get into the strength program, something completely different than what they're used to seeing and what they're used to doing at home. And now all of a sudden you've got to go back to what you're used to doing at home. And you may think you work hard or you worked hard when you were in high school, and you may think that you were, you know, had the best trainers or had a great opportunity to get stronger. I mean, when you've got a guy like Keandre Lambert, who's benching 230 and at 175, 180 pounds, whatever he is, you know, it's pretty impressive. But then he got up to what, benching 280 is what Dwight Gault said before the break. That just shows you the difference in what it takes to work hard at the high school level and what it takes to work hard at the college level. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to have to go back to the high school level. I think that's a very intriguing subplot to this whole time off. Is, you mentioned it in a piece the other day, wide receiver is going to be completely up in the air. That would have been completely up in the air with spring ball. Now, all of a sudden, without spring ball, you're kind of thrown for a loop, and that's kind of the crazy thing that happens. Guys like Keandre Lambert, you know, guys that were hoping to move up the depth chart. Daniel George was hoping to, you know, assert himself as a starter. Cam Sullivan Brown, coming off that injury, hoped to do the same. Now you've got a guy like Keandre Lambert or John Dunmore or TJ Jones missing out on this opportunity. It's going to be interesting. And then on the flip side, you've got a guy like Parker Washington or a guy like Norval Black, who's coming in this summer or set to come in this summer. Now all of a sudden they're not at the big disadvantage that they would have been, or slight disadvantage, big disadvantage, it depends on the position, that they would have been being 15 practices behind some of their classmates.
One other note here, and it's not really a positive one, continuing with a lot of these themes. Guys who are recovering from injuries, we're not privy to a lot of the information. Some of them, you know, we hear about. We were told Jason Owe was bouncing back from a shoulder issue this winter. We mentioned Nick Tarburton being on crutches. There's a lot that we see and don't see that we can't talk about or that we're not learning about. And that, I wonder, when guys have to go back to their hometown and they're not able to keep up with the rehabilitation, because Penn State, like many of these Power 5 football programs, they have world-class specialists that are going to get you back from your injury as quick as possible. And, you know, now you're back home, you're dealing, you know, I don't know what the physical rehabilitation places are, how many of them are even open right now. So I think for guys recovering from injury, this obviously throws a wrench in that recovery status. And this is the point where I have to remind our listeners, Sean, that this is an even playing field. Penn State, we're talking about their issues, but across the board right now, early enrollees had to go back home pretty quickly. You know, players who are recovering from injury on every campus, they're dealing with it right now. And there are coaching staff changes everywhere across college football. This is a common theme, a common enemy, as you would say, for head coaches like James Franklin.
Yeah, and this is the time that we just kind of repeat. We realize there's bigger issues out there. We're just trying to provide a distraction from that matter. But yeah, those kind of things are sort of all over the place. I mean, you've got tough circumstances. You got guys, like I said, that will be eventually out of the loop because of this and because they didn't get their chance to shine in the spring. We talked about it this week on a roundtable. You, Mark Brennan, myself, picked the positions that would be in tricky spots. I think quarterback's an obvious one. Mark took that one. You took receiver, which to me is the most obvious one. And I took safety, just kind of change it up and make some things crazy. But I'll start with safety, where you know, for my standpoint, safety was not good last year. At the end of the year, I mean, you could mask those guys for a while, but by the end of the year, it was quite obvious. Once Minnesota and credit Kirk Shiroka, and it's funny because we talked about this with Christian Velu, the quarterback prospect, a couple of months ago, as he put that tape on for Christian Velu and said, "This is how we attacked Penn State safeties. This is what we did," and went right after them. And it, you know, all credit to them, they sort of exposed the Penn State defense and went from being a championship level defense to what we saw at the end of the year, which was just kind of hanging on. You know, the front seven did what it could. The secondary had some issues, and as I've said multiple times, a lot of that's on the safeties. Now you move on without Garrett Taylor. You're bringing back Lamont Wade, who, you know, showed some flashes, got his hands on the football a few times in that Ohio State game and did some nice things, but still, I think it's easy to, or I think you're not stretching when you say there's improvement to be made with Lamont Wade. And then Jaquan Brisker, who to me was one of probably the top five guys on this roster that could have used spring practice the most. Brisker showed enough last year, and he got beat, a decent amount of times, but he showed enough flashes and enough of that ability that he could be a top level safety in the Big Ten. And now all of a sudden he doesn't get that out. You move down the depth chart, you've got guys like Jonathan Sutherland, who've been here a while, Tyler Rudolph redshirted last year, a couple of other guys in that mix. And now all of a sudden you're just kind of pushing these 15 practices to the side and saying, hey guys, you got to get better on your own, because this was a chance to fix really what hindered them down the stretch, especially in the passing game. So we'll see where that goes. I still see Wade and Brisker as the guys when camp opens eventually, whenever that may be. But it's just it's an interesting dynamic when you take that out, and how much is that going to have a ripple effect on this defense? I think we still think that this front seven can be very good. I think the corners have some talent as well, but those safeties were the missing piece last year, and I guess we're going to spend a year talking about how they would have to improve for this defense to get back to the level that we thought it could be.
Unlike his former Lackawanna teammate, Jaquan Brisker did not get on campus with Anthony Wigan last spring. He showed up in the summer, so he's been on campus for less than a year. Played a lot of football last year, but certainly a very valid point for you. And also, noting on the safeties, if you were thinking about mixing and matching a little bit, you've mentioned throughout this offseason maybe Trent Gordon, because of what you got cooking at cornerback, maybe getting some looks at safety. This obviously is an issue, not being able to get those long looks between Tim Banks and Terry Smith and Brent Pry, and seeing who may have solid footing to make that kind of positional transition and who may be kind of in the deep end, and maybe you want to back off those plans. So there's a lot to work through here, and I think the constant theme of what Penn State was going to need to make a leap if they were truly going to be a college football playoff contender in 2020 was the passing attack. And you know, Sean Clifford, everyone wants to see the Tanner Morgan-esque kind of jump from him under Kirk Shiraka this year. They've worked together for a couple months. As you said, there are ways to do this remotely. They're going to be teaming up, but you know, it's very valuable. Kirk Shiraka was talking about how much he goes through spring camp practice with a fine-tooth comb and how important that was going to be for him working with all new personnel this year. That chance has now been obliterated. But receiver, I think, is still the storyline. A new coach, you know, that's a common theme here. The fourth consecutive year they'll have a new wide receivers coach. I've said this a lot. Only Jahan Dotson has more than a dozen college catches to his career at this point among this roster. And then you factor in, there are going to be five newcomers in this room. You thought you liked the chances for Keandre Lambert. I still do. But to make an immediate impact now, that takes a step back. He's got to go home. Doesn't know when he's going to get back to campus. Got Jaden Dotton on campus early. But the fact of the matter is, whenever you do get these guys on a practice field, only one of those five newcomers will have any college experience going into the summer, and that's Norvell Black, who played a couple of years at Lackawanna College. The other four, when you're going into summer, it looks like zero college practice reps with a new first-year coach and a serious need for immediate impact. It's not a great scenario playing out in that receiver room.
There's a lot going on right there, and there's multiple layers to that. There's multiple levels to that. I think a couple of guys that maybe could have bridge that gap. John Dunmore now all of a sudden doesn't get a chance. TJ Jones doesn't get a chance. And Keandre Lambert is, of course, the guy that we've been hearing the most buzz about. It's really tough to figure out what this depth chart's going to look like. I mean, I did a would-be depth chart on online 24/7 this week, and, you know, it kind of basically said, take this and, you know, print it out and put in the bottom of the birdcage or whatever, because it's going to look very different whenever they take over. Dotson, of course, being that constant. George is sort of working toward that. I like what I saw from Cam Sullivan. I've never been a big Cam Sullivan Brown guy. I thought he could have been a potential safety or something like that coming out of high school. I just wasn't overly impressed with the wide receiver skill, but showed some consistency, showed some smoothness to his game, which some of those other guys at those positions did not have. So it's an interesting spot for him. And now he had a chance to gain a foothold on one of those starting jobs. Now all of a sudden, you don't know what's going to happen. So I'm intrigued by the young guys. I think they've got talent in there, but Taylor Stubblefield's got a heck of a job ahead of him, and that's sort of what you expected coming into this. Going back to quarterback for a second, I think it hurts the freshman a lot. Of course, you wanted Clifford to be out there, be on the same page with Kirk Shiraka and Levis. I mean, you eventually see him as a wildcat guy, a goal line guy, but that's really not going to come into play all that much in a typical spring anyway. You're not really running too many goal line sets. But he needed to improve as a passer, as we saw at the end of the last season. And then you got Taquan Roberson and Michael Johnson, who are just kind of forever linked together, kind of like John Dunmore and TJ Jones at receiver, just kind of linked together because they came in together. Skill sets kind of mesh with one another or play off of one another. I think Roberson's a little bit ahead right now. I think he was a better passer coming in. Johnson more of an athlete, a freewheeler type thing. They were going to get a lot of reps in the spring, and now they're not. And as a quarterback, as a young quarterback, that's tough to swallow right there.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, there are some positions where you say things should be okay. And I failed to note running back here, but clearly that's one, Sean. Running back, tight end on offense. Look, Pat Freiermuth's going to stabilize that situation. Tyler Bowen is the longest tenured member of that offensive staff. We've talked about the depth they have in that room. And speaking about depth, running back has plenty of it. Journey Brown, by all accounts, really just producing a tremendous offseason, totally being that leader of the pack in the room. We know what Noah Kane, Devin Ford have the potential to do. Keziah Holmes has a couple months under his belt, but again, not being able to get those spring practices, that nullifies a bit of the early enrollment bonus quite clearly. And then I think defensively, linebacker, because of that stability you've had with Brent Pry, he recruited all these guys himself. He has helped them mature personally. So I think that's big to have that bridge the gap a little bit. And you got 4 or 5 stars, a bunch of 4 stars in that mix. We've talked about that. And I think cornerback is a spot where, because of the opportunities we saw true freshmen get last year with Keaton Ellis, Marquise Wilson, we like what we see from Joey Porter. He's got some developing to do. And Daquan Hardy has made some noise since getting to campus. So I think, with Tariq Castro-Fields coming back, that's a good spot. Offensive line also, Sean. I'm going to quick run down here, but offensive line, I know it's a new offensive line coach, Phil Troutwine, but again, you're returning 5 players with starting experience. They should be able to account for themselves on a day-to-day basis here, and I think that's important. The veterans on this team, they should be able to handle this momentary pause a little bit better than guys who have not played in Big Ten games and guys who are on their 12th, 13th, 14th month on campus. So, those are just some positions that I think maybe you like where you're at, despite the fact that these are unfortunate circumstances.
Well, you like where you're at in some spots because you're talking about position battles for backup jobs. And I think a running back and tight end, not having the spring will hurt because you had what I thought could be a terrific, sort of jostling for the backup position between Noah Kane and Devin Ford, who has a full year into the program or doesn't have a full year into the program, but has a full offseason under his belt now. And at tight end, Zach Kuntz and Brenton Strange are kind of the same. Linebacker could go either way because, yes, they do have a bunch of talent there. There's a lot of stars in that room, but you're also replacing a starter in Jan Johnson, replacing a starter in Cam Brown. What's Brandon Smith bring to the table? Is Ellis Brooks the guy in the middle? So there's interesting subplots all over the place. Corner is interesting to me because, most of that room is the 2019 class. And Joey Porter's done some nice things. They like what they've seen from him. Marquise Wilson, we've all seen, made some plays at the end of the season. Of course, Keaton Ellis is there as well. So I like where they're at from a talent standpoint, but, they need reps. That's where they were going to be. Offensive line is very interesting to me. Weren't going to have Michael Mennett for the spring, so you're moving pieces around. Mike Miranda was going to play some center. Dez Holmes was going to slide in there and play some left guard, or I guess be the starter at left guard for the spring. Very big spring for those two guys, and now all of a sudden that's off the table. And a guy like Caden Wallace, who you talked about as a potential guy that could battle for that left guard spot, he's still out at tackle where they're trying to develop depth. It's really interesting because You look at the front five, you see Steven Gonzalez is gone, and you think, okay, well, they got to fill that gap at guard. how's that going to happen? Well, that's one thing. But if you list out the scholarships and you list out the roster of what's standing there, tackle is very thin right now. And you can move guys around. You've, of course, got Walker and Fries as starters. You've got Dez Holmes, who played last year. You can move guys around like Holmes. But Wallace is out there. You need to solidify your two deep, because that's going to be very important in the long run. So tackle is really a spot where, you know, at first you look at it and you say, okay, you know, they got bodies there, they got returning starters there, that's great, but it's a spot that needs to cultivate some depth. They've got three guys coming in the summer, and Jimmy Christ and Olu Fashanu and Ibrahim Traore, but really those guys are a ways off as well. So tackle's just an interesting subplot in Phil Troutwine's first year, because it's really not one that you would have thought about coming into the spring.
Yeah, you're shuffling the deck on the offensive line. You're shuffling the deck on linebacker. I think you like a lot of those pieces, but the two deep needs to come together, and the lack of spring practice certainly inhibits that approach. We'll talk a lot more about clearly this pause in momentum and what it's going to mean for program development. A lot of content up, some roundtable stuff with Mark, Sean, and myself up on lines247.com. So we'll get into that more. We're going to turn our attention to recruiting in a moment, but first, tune into this break and then stick around for Fatoma Mulba, a defensive tackle. That's another interesting position that we'll get into on a future podcast. International journey to Happy Valley. Hear about that in just a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The latest early enrollee to join us on the Lions 24/7 podcast. We didn't have to search far. He's one of the premier players in this 2020 Pennsylvania recruiting class. It is Fatoma Mulba, Susquehanna Township defensive lineman, a guy who came on strong in 2019 on the recruiting trail, ended up earning a Penn State offer at camp, and soon afterward committed to the class. By the time you're all hearing this, he will be enrolled on campus. But as we're talking, it's the day he's going. And so it's an exciting time for Fatoma. Thank you for making time for us here on a Friday morning. You know, you're going to bed in Happy Valley tonight. How does that sound?
Man, it's crazy. It's like year. It's crazy. Yeah.
You talked about it before we the podcast going. You're going to have some family making the trip with you. Mom will be there today. Others tomorrow. Yeah. What is the buildup towards this new chapter in your life been like? What are the emotions you're feeling, and what has the experience been like?
It's been an interesting journey to the recruiting process, and finally, yeah, it's crazy how time flew by, and it's like just leaving my family and everything, my friends, and just leaving everything behind and going over to the new chapter, and like starting the new chapter is something like I've been looking forward to. And getting ready to work hard and just helping the team up there. That's what I've been looking forward to, and it's been an interesting journey. And yeah.
What does the Penn State coaching staff, what do they do to make sure that you're prepared for this moment? So maybe you can get a bit of a head start at home before you actually check in on campus.
Oh, just getting your mind right. It's like most of the playoffs told me, it's like a mental stuff, like it's our mentor and stuff. Just getting your mind right and going in there to put in the work. That's the only way you can get ready. Like it's not anything like you gotta be physical ready too. That's one part of it, but like it's all mental.
The mental aspect obviously huge, making that transition from high school to college. But for Tormo, the physical part of the equation, you fit the bill for that. We have you listed at 6'3", right around 270 pounds. Is that where you're going to campus at, or are you a little bit bigger at this point?
I'm like around 275, like trying to get my weight up before winter workout starts. Was my big focus, cause I'm trying to get bigger, get stronger. So I've been in the weight room every day, putting that work and getting ready for winter workout.
All right. Well, we'll see where it takes you from here. You mentioned working and preparing for this moment. Someone who's been a big part of your process from what you told us earlier in your recruitment is Jordan Hill, who played defensive tackle at Penn State and had an opportunity to go on to the NFL. Can you talk about his influence on your development and how he's prepared you?
So like all off season and stuff, like, we had something going on. Like he gave me a few advice, a few tip on how to do drills and stuff. And he helped me a whole lot during the off season, and I feel like that helped me going into the season and stuff. But yeah, he's a good dude. Known him for the past 2 years, and he's really been like a mentor to me and stuff. So yeah.
And what did he tell you about Penn State? Obviously, he's got some insider tips, spending a significant portion of his life on campus. What did he give you as far as a heads up on what to expect in Happy Valley?
He left the decision out to me. Like, he's like, man, you just got to enjoy the ride. Like, have fun with it, work hard, do the little things, and you're going to be, like he told me, he's like, man, you're going to be successful out there. And he just... He just told me to work hard and like enjoy the moment, cause it's not gonna last forever. Enjoy every second of it, and just give it your all. That was just me advice that I took from him, and just go in there to work hard.
We will talk about your big 2019 year and how it changed your life in a second, but let's go back to 2014, not that long ago, but you made a huge move with your family from Liberia, moving to a different continent. Did you speak much English at that point? How was the transition for you socially, and when did you find football?
Man, it was tough for a second, coming into a young country and stuff. It was tough. My accent was it was a main downfall. It was a hard transition for me, and being at this moment right now, I'm so proud of myself and everything I've accomplished and stuff. But it was tough. Like the first few months from Liberia to America, like just getting to the meeting young people and getting adjusted to the young culture and stuff like over here. And And the weather, it was difficult for a second, but as time goes on, I got used to it.
Athletics, I hear this all the time from guys who come in from a different country. You find commonality in sports, and you make friends that way, and you expand your horizons. When did football become a passion for you, and how was it introduced to you?
It was like 3 years. I started playing freshman football my freshman year. And it was like three, four years ago. And people were just like, I was like a big basketball dude back then, trying to play basketball. I thought basketball was what I was gonna do. And just trying to play basketball, but as time goes on, and people keep telling me to try football, and I just tried, and I like the sport. So like, I tried, and I got my first sacks the first game. I was like, man, why not try to keep doing this? And since then, I've been doing it. I like to do it. So like, just hitting people and stuff, and just like it's a good game. It's a good game. And I really like it, and I'm so happy and proud that I've come this far because of football. And people tell me to play. I have no regret why like I played it, but it's a good sport. It's a good sport, and I love playing it.
And 6'3" will take you a lot further on a football field than it will on a basketball court. That's for sure. Yes. and you also wrestled, so you were very involved. I mean, let me ask you, in terms of football, what did it do for you? You talked about the transition to a new country being difficult. How did football help you with that process?
Oh, just making new friends and sharing, like it's like family. Like that's one thing. Football help you with family, building like a bond with people that you share a common interest with, and just having that family that you can talk to and people that you can connect with, and just dealing with adversity and stuff. Like that's like the main that like that's the main thing that football gave me, like how to deal with stuff, how to persevere and stuff. And that's what I take taking from football since I've been playing it, like knowing how to deal with stuff as a young man growing up, and just life in general. Football help you with everything, making that connection with people and sharing that common interest that you got, and playing with somebody right next to you, fighting for somebody right next to you is the greatest sport ever.
This time last year, you didn't have any offers. Last February, at the end of last February, you didn't have any offers. All of a sudden, that started to change. When did momentum start going your way in recruiting? And what was the experience like as all of a sudden opportunities started to develop?
Man, once I received my first offer from Buffalo, things like coaches, FBS schools, coaches started hitting me up, and I started like my recruiting process started getting like it started getting big, but it wasn't as big as like over the summer. Like over the summer was when my recruiting process was ready to explode, and yeah, but like throughout the winter, it was just like schools like Buffalo and other schools that offered me and that I was talking to, but for some reason that like they saw my development. And I went to camp and stuff, and just show out and work hard at them, and like just want to come and show why I should earn an offer from a big time school like Penn State, and that's when my recruiting process really started boosting up.
Buffalo was that first one for you. Ended up getting Bowling Green, UConn, Massachusetts, Temple, Toledo, those kind of schools. But I know for you, things broke through in June. You made it a trip to State College for a camp, the second week of June. Were you determined to earn that offer that day?
So it's kind of funny because coach just hit me out there like, we want you to come to the camp. I was like, all right. I went to the camp. About like when the camp was over, I was about to go home, and Coach Franklin was like, "Oh, hold up, Coach Franklin want to talk to you for a second." I was like, "I wasn't expecting it. I was just like, oh, it's just another camp. I can just go out there and like do what I do and get out and get recognized and stuff." But I went there and show out, and they were like impressed with my numbers and what I did. And Coach Franklin talked to me that day, and he's like, "Man, we like interested in you and stuff like that. We won't be talking to you if we're not." And like that, it was like just like, boom, they started talking to me, and they offered 3 days after that. So it was like crazy.
Right, yeah. Franklin says we'll talk. 72 hours later, you're on the Penn State target board. Things move fast in college football sometimes. And 10 day, and then 10 days after that, you're a part of this class at Penn State. It all seemed, within 2 weeks, you go to camp, you get the offer, you enter the class. Did you take a big deep breath after all that and take a look back and say, "Wow, that just happened"?
For sure, yeah. I was thinking about it. I was like, man, it's like my life just changed all of a sudden. Like just going to camp, and you like people don't like you work hard like every time, and once you get that opportunity, you gotta make use of it. And I got an opportunity to go to camp, and I took advantage of that and earned an offer, and that's like it's still like it still got gets to me right now, 'cause I work for it. Like it's something I've earned. Like it wasn't just given to me. It's something that I feel like I've earned, and I deserve to be on the squad.
How did your family respond to this whole development and what 2019 has meant to you? And because I'm imagining football was not a big part of the family conversation until just a few years ago. Is this something that has just been kind of an unexpected blessing for your family?
Oh yeah, for sure. My parents didn't even expect football to be like my focus. All they thought was going to school and producing grades and stuff and being good in class, and right after high school, maybe going to the military or going to the National Guard. That was my dad thought. But last year, all of a sudden, I received my first offer. Like he was shocked. He was like, "Wow, that's like 'cause he been taking him to every workout, taking him to stuff, and just seeing that he was like, man, it's really impressive. So right there, he was shocked, and he just been going up from there, and he been supportive. My parents been supportive to all the recruiting process, and I'm really happy for that. I'm happy that they've been open and stuck with me throughout that, because the whole stuff can be stressful sometimes, the whole recruiting process. But once you have that support of people to help you throughout, it's good.
When did you attend your first football game? And I don't mean your own game or a high school game. I mean a college game, an NFL game. When did you first attend a big-time football atmosphere?
A big-time football atmosphere. It was probably Temple. I went to my first Temple game, then went to an Eagles game. But my first college football game was Temple.
And you got a chance to check out Beaver Stadium in a whiteout setting this fall. I know for you, that must have been an eye-opening experience. For someone who just came to this country 5 years ago, it seems to be one of the greatest shows in all of American sports. What did you make of that entire environment?
Man, it was like crazy. You could feel like it was something that I haven't experienced. So it was like all new to me, because people was telling me, like, they were like, man, you're gonna like that weather out. So I was like, oh yeah. I went there, check it out, and I was like, man, this gotta be like the greatest atmosphere in all of college football, because it's like people shaking hands, people yelling, people, like, it's loud in there. So like, man, like in a few years from now, I'm really gonna be on this field playing in this type of atmosphere. So it was like crazy, like it was fantastic.
You will be on that field this year. I know it's probably crazy to think about, but you'll be on the field next time there's a whiteout. You know, whether you're playing or whether you're supporting your teammates from the sideline, that remains to be seen. But when you look ahead here at 2020, what are your personal expectations for what you want to do and what you want to achieve as a freshman at Penn State?
As a freshman, I'm just going in with the mindset of getting better. And just getting, because people don't understand, like, I've only been playing this sport for like 2-3 years. It's just going in and working hard and seeing where, because hard work is what I've been depending on. I wasn't growing up as a football fan. I wasn't all that. I wasn't totally like involved in all that stuff in football. But since I've been playing, it's just hard work, and I feel like working hard and staying dedicated to what coach is telling me and what I got to do, I feel like that's going to take me a long way. And just going in and working hard and helping my team getting better. That's the main goal for me, just staying focused and working hard.
Well, you said you've depended on hard work to get here. That's a great thing to depend on. That's a great foundation. It helped you rack up 12 sacks this year as a senior. And what is the coaching staff telling you in terms of what he sees from you at the defensive line position, across the defensive front? What is his vision for you?
Man, he sees me as like, he don't want me to, like he want me to be around 300 and stuff, but he don't want me to be at like that big. Like he wants me to be like all muscles and stuff, playing the 3-tech and just being dominant and using techniques that he's going to teach me, and just being a master out there. And like, I feel like he's gonna help me too out. Like he's gonna get me ready. Like he's gonna be a good coach for me. Cause I like how he do stuff. He screwed up with you. I like his motto and everything he stands for. And getting to the quarterback, that's something that I love to do. And just hitting somebody and just all that.
Getting to the quarterback, always a good thing when you play on the defensive line. Three new Wild Dogs coming in January. You, Cole Brevard, and Bryce Mostella. What is your relationship with some of these other early enrollees? Have you established some significant bonds that you're going into campus with?
Yeah, for sure. We've been talking throughout since I've committed. We've been talking and we've been built like we have that bond already. We've been talking. And Bryce, we've been like, he's a funny dude. And Cole, like we're gonna be fighting with each other. Like we're gonna be fighting every time to helping one another get better and just going down the line of scrimmage. And I got his back, he got my back. That's what I see in the next few years, being my buddy and like dominating on the field.
Off the field, who is your roommate?
Tyler.
Tyler Elsden. Okay. Yeah. So, and he's a guy, obviously another top Pennsylvania player who earned an offer on the camp scene. What are you excited about Tyler and getting to spend a lot of quality time with him here in the next year?
Yeah. Just looking at Tyler, man, he's a great, he's like that guy that when I asked for him, I was like, yeah, Tyler for sure. Cause he's like that dude that's going to be playing behind me and he's going to like help me to get better. And I'm going to help him to get better too. So, we need each other. But he's just a great dude, very physical. And I feel like he's going to be a good roommate and a good person. And just getting his back because that linebacker, we like bullies. So, we need each other. So, it's Tyler, roommate, and playing on the field, playing for each other every time. So, it's
If there is one thing about this 2020 Penn State recruiting class, and I guess now it's more appropriate to call it the freshman class, what is James Franklin making sure is your mission? What is he trying to make sure that is instilled in each of you about what you can accomplish in the next 4 or 5 years?
Just coming in and getting a degree first, and just the education aspect of it. That's his main focus, because coming in, football gonna be there. Football not gonna last forever, but the education is what gonna last, and that's his main focus. Coming with that mindset of being here for 4 to 5 years, if you can get your master, and let everything play out, because the education is what should keep him with you, and that's his main focus for the 2020 class.
Well, you mentioned education being above the rest. Do you have a plan for what you want to pursue as a student?
Probably business, but I'm going out undecided right now and checking out all those stuff.
Well, that's great. That's great for you to explore your options. There's plenty to choose from and over the next few years. And this the last thing for you here. It's not a question for Torma, but I'll give you the microphone. A lot of Penn State fans are listening. They're going to get to know you a lot better in a few years. We'll learn a lot about you as a football player. Uh-huh. Tell them what they should know about Fatorma Mulba and what he's bringing to the Penn State community.
Man, they're gonna get a guy that's gonna work hard. When he has the opportunity, he's gonna show out. He's gonna help his team to get better, and he's gonna give it his all. That's why they get it. A guy who's gonna work hard.
That's all you can ask for. And you came, I know there were some feelings of maybe loneliness when you first got to the United States. Your family's about to get a lot bigger in Happy Valley. Enjoy that process. Thank you for giving us some time. You're just a few hours away from making that trip. So best of luck. We'll see you soon around campus. And thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff from Fatorma. Look forward to him getting back on campus. Look forward to watching these guys actually participate on the football field as Penn State athletes. It's been a great series that we've done here on the podcast, and that is our last early enrollee that we caught up with days before they got to campus. So thanks to everyone who was involved. If you missed any of those, go back to our last couple months of episodes at this point. Plenty of good conversations with the newest Penn State players. So, as I mentioned, the recruiting has remained pretty active for Penn State despite the suspended visits across college football. About 20 new offers went out between Monday and Thursday. We're recording on a Friday. That number could be growing as we speak. Many in the 2022 class. On Thursday alone, I got a story up this afternoon. 4 top 10 receivers, and I can call them top 10 now, Sean, because as I said, a fresh top 24/7 for 2022 is out. A bunch of content for us to analyze. It comes at a good time. And by the way, Pennsylvania, as we have thought, looking quite loaded in the 2022 class.
Yes, if you need proof that coaches do pay attention to rankings and rankings releases, and it's more, and I say that, and it's more about the information than anything. Maybe you missed a guy. There's a guy that is just out of your region or something like that, and maybe you want to take a shot and see if you got a connection with. I saw Arlen Harris Jr. on the list from Missouri, and he's of course Arlen Harris's son, Aaron Harris's nephew, former Penn State running back, strong lineage in Downingtown there. So it's just these kind of random things just pop up, and then all of a sudden you know, just watch Twitter, and it's not just Penn State. Everybody's offering these kids in the days after a release like this, and it's kind of funny to sit back because you have a lot of people that are strictly on the coaches don't pay attention to this stuff board, and they do, and it's really it's easy proof to show you that. But yes, Pennsylvania pretty loaded, a bunch of guys in there. There's Anaya White is in the top 10, defensive end out of Imhotep, had a really good junior year. Keenan Nelson from St. Joe's Prep, who Penn State is actually not offered yet, which is interesting. But then the three guys that I'm looking at, you know, you want to kind of turn your attention to as potential core of the class type guys, but Makai Flowers from Steele High, Nicholas Singleton from Governor Mifflin, and Anthony Ivey from Cedar Crest, I think it is. Sorry, I just lost that in my head. But three District 3 guys, middle of the state, guys that have been on campus a whole lot, and all of a sudden you're lumping them together. Brian Doan and I were talking last week about this group, and it's like, who would you rank higher? And we just kept going back and forth on, you know, you can make this point for this guy, and then all of a sudden I think there's seven spots separating the three in the top 24/7 ranking. So Pennsylvania, good 2021 class, which Penn State really hasn't capitalized on so far, but really, really good 22 class that they've had those guys on campus quite a bit. So we'll see where that goes, and it's still too early to speculate leaders and where Penn State's going to stand with those guys, but they've gotten them on campus a bunch. They've struck up relationships, and they've offered these guys early, which is something that they haven't always done. They haven't always, you know, been at the forefront of some of these guys' recruitment, maybe worried about, you know, a missed evaluation earlier or anything like that. But they were early on Flowers. They were early on Ivy, relatively early on Singleton as well. So they've jumped right in with the 2022 class, and it's a good one to do so in the state of Pennsylvania.
Anthony Ivy out of Manheim Township. I did a little research while you were working your way through that. And he was a kid that was impressive for sure last summer on the camp circuit. By the way, thank goodness this time of the year, particularly this year, top school list season. Landon Tengwall's the big one here. He's down in Notre Dame, Penn State. We had Tom Loy from the Notre Dame site in 24/7 had a big breakdown of that, him wrestling with those two schools. Michigan is now out of it. Another offensive lineman to note here, Caleb Tiernan out of Michigan, Ohio State, the Wolverines, Northwestern, and Penn State in the mix. Marcus Burke, who's a four-star Florida receiver. We talked about him on a couple podcasts ago because I caught up with him after his offer. Some connections with Taylor Stubblefield dating back to the Miami days. Florida, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Miami, Penn State are his final five. Number one tight end, Thomas Fedone, has six in mind, including Penn State. Number one running back, Travion Henderson, goes from 40-plus offers down to a final nine. Penn State is on that list as well. And then a couple four-star mail-in recruits, Zaki Wheatley and also Jaleel Farouk, have Penn State on their list. I believe theirs are more in the long department. But I think the Tengwall one is obviously notable. Sean, any takeaways? I wanted to get them all on the table real quickly.
You didn't include Kevin Gilliam's top 15.
I did not. Good observation.
Tengwall, still feel good about Penn State here. Interesting dynamics there without him being able to visit Notre Dame. He had two Notre Dame visits set up and one to Penn State, and then eventually he would have scheduled a second official visit to Penn State. I still like Penn State here. I talked to Tom Loy of our Notre Dame site. He kind of feels the same way. He's been in a lot of contact with Landon. So, you know, this is really looking across the board. You don't feel great about a ton of guys, but you feel pretty fantastic about Landon Tengwall right now. Caleb Tiernan, they've had him on campus a couple of times, most recently at the beginning of February. I lean Michigan right now, but Penn State, you know, Phil Troutwine has been in on this. Burke, it is a Florida kid. We'll just go with that. Fedone, you're going to have to try and get for an official visit. It looks like Iowa and Nebraska are the two right now. Probably more so Nebraska slightly. But, I mean, if you're a tight end in that area of the country, Iowa's got to look pretty good to you. And Travion Henderson, Ohio State's the leader right there. It's unfortunate for Penn State because Henderson is really a top-of-the-board type player. If you've watched any bit of highlights in this 2021 class, I would suggest it being Henderson. If he goes to Ohio State, probably won't suggest that for our listeners, but man, he's pretty fantastic. Zaki Wheatley, still have Penn State sitting at the top for him. Really one of those guys where it depends how hard you push. You know, you have needs at safety. He's kind of an athlete, started out as a receiver. Maybe he could play some corner, play some safety as well. So we'll see what goes with that. Jaleel Farouk, I think, still an important recruit for Penn State. Very close with Caleb Williams, which that one doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon. Farouk's a guy that Penn State was in a great spot before the coaching change. Need to sort of recapture that momentum that they have, or yeah, that Henderson, they had. Yes.
Yeah, Henderson to Ohio State would not be good for Penn State fans, especially coming off just a couple days ago. Evan Pryor, who was the initial Nittany Lions target at running back in the 2021 class, he committed to the Buckeyes. He is one of 12 four or five stars currently in that Ohio State 2021 class. Penn State at two commits, got some work to do, and obviously Ohio State has been setting the pace in the Big Ten now for several years.
And they're an outlier right now nationally. I mean, it's Ohio State and Clemson and then everyone else, and then you've got some other sort of upstarts like North Carolina. Rutgers has been getting commitments, and some other schools have kept getting commitments throughout this dead period, but North Carolina is really the one that is probably turning the most heads. Ohio State's a machine right now. They're doing fantastic with what they've gotten, and really it's selling themselves. And really, you don't think about Ohio State. You take a look at all the talent that they brought in. Well, their running back room is nothing right now. I mean, Trey Sermon's going to end up there from Oklahoma in the transfer portal, and, he may be your starter if he can get eligible right away, just based off of injuries that they had in the spring. So Pryor and Henderson both ending up there. It's a product of what's going on with that. So that's a tough pill to swallow. In the big picture, you've got a couple of guys, and I said, I've said for a long time, you watch the guys that have actually visited, the guys that you actually, could have seen as potential guys in this class. Evan Pryor was one of them. Wyatt Millum committed to West Virginia. So starting to see some of that movement, and not all of it is good for Penn State. So we'll see where they go through this dead period. There's a lot of Skyping going a lot of Zooming going along with prospects, trying to build that relationship without getting to campus, which is not the easiest thing in the world.
We mentioned Thomas Vadone being the number one tight end in the country, having Penn State in the mix. Brock Bauer is the number two tight end in 24/7 Sports rankings. Sean caught up with him. I caught up with a few of the new offers. You can catch all that content for our VIP subscribers up on lines247.com. We know it's a time right now for pinching pennies. Just letting everyone know, 50% off annual VIP subscriptions at the moment. $1 for your first month. That's a different route you can go. We'll do our best to distract you, entertain you, and give you some great nuggets along the way. Sean, before we go, I wanted to do something new. You had 30 minutes to think about it now. We're trying to do a positive observation. Doesn't have to be Penn State related. I will quickly share mine as a parting gift. We want to give some positive momentum to everybody in our listening audience. I posted this on our message board earlier in the week, but last weekend I went down to my hometown in South Jersey. I spent all day Saturday before stuff really hit the fan here nationally, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and everywhere. But spent time with my godson, Parker. He turned 3 years old. I've told the story quite a bit. Spending time at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, watching him undergo treatment for liver cancer before his first birthday. He was 6 months old. It was my first season here. Going back and forth to Philadelphia, and here it was trying times. And I will tell you, watching him roll around in his new little Ford Bronco, skateboarding, and I'm telling you right now, he's the coolest kid in his neighborhood. He's got all these kids eating out of the palm of his hand and following him around the neighborhood. So really, it was really exciting to see, and it was a nice, at least for me, silver lining in a few days span that has totally altered our perception of reality. So I came ready with mine this week, Sean.
Yeah, I was totally blinded by this as we started. You threw that at the bottom. It's been really great to see the response that we've had from some of the people on our board. And I know some people, this is a sensitive subject for a lot of people, but keeping each other up is ultimately what's going to get people through this. And we've done a nice job of that. I hate to turn this into a pitch, but we've done a nice job of that in our community at Lions 24/7. And I'm glad to see, some of the human element come through, because, college football message board, human element's kind of thrown out the window sometimes. So it's been great to see some of that stuff, and especially around this community. I love this community, and I'm sort of, it sort of validates how things have, sort of validates the feelings that I have about that, to see some of the stuff that I've seen over the last week, people helping each other out, people specifically helping older people out, which is not something that, it takes somebody special to go out and do that and have the initiative to do that. And we've seen a lot of that, especially in State College. Again, phenomenal area, phenomenal place to raise kids and things like that. And I think that's further validated. I'm very lucky to live where I do, where I live and do what I do for a living, which is at this point providing a distraction for our readers, for our listeners. And that's really all we can ask to do. And, you know, interact with us, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up wherever you can. If you want to hear us talk about something, because we're going to be, let's be honest, we're going to be filling some space here.
It's brainstorming time, Sean. It is brainstorming time.
It's an extended content season. I'm not sure if we'll bring back the stupid Penn State power rankings from the Callahan days, but we're going to try our best to keep you distracted because that's what we can do at this point. And we appreciate you guys sticking with us, reading us, listening to us, interacting with us, and doing all those things because it's a, you know, it's a really unforeseen circumstances here, unprecedented, as I guess the word that I keep using over and over again. It's unprecedented times, and we're just happy to have you with us, really.
We will lean on you folks. You can lean right back, and we'll continue to provide that content on a daily basis along with Mark Brennan and our widespread 24/7 sports network. For now, we'll step away. On behalf of Sean Fitz, welcome back from vacation, Sean. This is the Lions 24/7 podcast. I'm Tyler Donahue. Make the most of these next few days. We'll talk to you soon.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.